The Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. Then we sing the Gloria. That's what we do when we're on Sunday. We sing the Gloria. And Beanie kind of expects that to really come, because from there on we're with it. And worship in this place is always an excitement. It's always a happening of the Holy Spirit. And as we're with that glory, it is a Gloria. Because look what we have said. The Lord is the one who's holding me together. He's given me a large place. You should have seen the tiny little place I'm planning to get for Mary and myself. I'm about to get into it. But there's a big view. And that's what I'll be looking at. But the word for forgiveness in Hebrew, in the Hebrew language, you only have three letters in each word, and they're always consonants. Three consonants. And that's the root of every Hebrew word. So you almost feel like you're sort of walking on stilts, except it's a good, strong kind of feeling. So you feel more like you're walking in these $65 boots these fellows have around here that are guaranteed to last a lifetime. And the lifetime is in a large place. And that's the word for forgiveness. Big space. You know, when there's no longer anything pressing you down. No longer under any kind of defensiveness. And that's what forgiveness is. And now he delivered me because he delighted in me. You see? Now that's your note for the week. That's what we're going into the summer with. And that's what makes you say, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. Glory be to the Father and to the Son. So on. All right, now let's read the psalm, which is the 18th psalm, in which you can get to a sister. And the only person this place has failed, the only person with her kind of a peculiar mental difficulty, because she only stayed 6 weeks. And it's one of our tragedies, because we always insist that anybody like that has to stay at least 3 months. And the pastor used the word that I'll be bringing tonight. We're saved from our enemies. God wants us to be under no kind of attack, never on the defensive. And so, again, it comes, look at the end. You read the rest, it's beautiful. But just look at the end again where he declares what? I'll read it, and then I'll read the first part, and then you'll find where it is, and you read the second part. He sent from above, he took me. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me. They came upon me in the day of my calamity. He brought me forth also into a large place. Now, is that because gotten into your thinking a little? He delivered me because he delighted in me. Tillich, one of our fine thinkers, several occasions when I heard him talk about Luther, he said Luther's favorite preposition was trutz, in spite of. His dying word was, wir sind alle Bettler, we're all beggars. And I remember arguing once with Hermann Preuss on this whole thing, because this isn't all that Luther had. In every sermon, which are unfortunately the least known things that Luther wrote, he didn't consider it preaching unless the happy exchange took place and you realize that he delivered me because he delighted me. His preaching over and over declares that God is always taking beggars and making them kings. That we are Christ's twin. He is our twin. Or again, we are the Lord's, both with and without the apostrophe. That is, because we belong to him, all that is his belongs to us. So that because is important. And it's especially important because we never believe it. We really don't. One of the fellows in prison camp said after a sermon of the gospel, you can't preach that enough because we never really believe it. And I said, now, Johnny, you know what faith is. And that's right. Now, having said that, let's sing this little I Sing to Thee. Right after World War II and all the wretchedness of Germany, this came out in a little book, a whole book of Paul Gerhardt's hymns. The Mennonites have a whole hymn book of his hymns. And in the Red Hymn Book, he got really slaughtered. One of his great, great hymns that has 11 stanzas in all of our Lutheran hymnody that was required of all of us confirmants to learn by heart for all of our history here in America. And then suddenly, bang, you've got five little half stanzas in it. And it's the 8th chapter of Romans. We won't go into this, because then I spend the next 2 hours. But this, I sing to thee with voice and heart, was what lifted the people of Germany in that wretched hour for them. And though we don't like this melody too well, we're going to use the melody that we have here, and we're going to seek for a better one. We think that's one reason why it got left out of the Red Hymnary. It'll be in the new one. I sing to thee with voice and heart.
Hath he not oft in threatening hour turned dreaded ills away? Did not his love and truth and power watch o'er thy childhood's day? Upon thy mouth then lay thy hand and trust his guiding eye. Thus firm as rock thy faith shall stand now and eternally. It's the kind of humor that's in the great hymns. And Paul Gerhardt has a lot of this. Always a kind of overflow of a holy hilarity. This is what it is in song. And not because he had it so good. He lost his call. He was kicked out of his parish. He became a name that was rather odious for his time. And his wife and children suffered in death in the midst of the difficulties of the time and the 30 Years' War. And yet, he's the greatest singer, perhaps of all churches, certainly the greatest of our Lutheran church. O holy Jesus, when the light of thy dear face shines on me bright, then heavenly joy doth thrill me. O Lord, my sure and steadfast good, thy word, thy spirit, body, blood, with life, new life they fill me. This day I pray, mercy showing, grace bestowing, look on me, Lord. Thy own word is all my plea, Lord. Thou mighty Father and thy Son didst love me ere thou hadst begun this ancient world's foundation. Thy Son hath made a friend of me, and when in spirit him I see, I've done with tribulation. What bliss is this, where he liveth, me he giveth, life forever, nothing me from him can sever. Lift up the voice and strike the string, let all glad sounds of music ring and God's high praises blended. Christ will be with me all the way, today, tomorrow, every day, till traveling days be ended. Sing out, ring out, triumph glorious, O victorious, chosen nation, praise the God of your salvation. Amen. That's part of a hymn that's also left out of our red hymnary that will be sung by us this summer, memorized by many of you. Because this is a place where you sing because you don't have to carry yourself. The Lord carries you and you're free to carry your brother, and it gives a new kind of relief and joy. It allows all the earthiness of existence to come into its wonderful focus in this village. They call it our sauna theology, some of them with joy and some with a sneer, but it is all shaped by the word made flesh. It springs from Scott's word at the table tonight, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but he said it was worth being at communion that night to be hugged by this girl. And that's right, you get brothers and sisters hundredfold. And it's a whole new fellowship, and you suddenly aren't afraid of each other anymore. And this wonder of being loved and cherished and accepted, because you're forgiven and you aren't guilty and you can see each other. Guilt is like a film over your eyes that keeps you from really beholding each other, like the man whom Jesus made to see, and he first saw men like trees walking. Then our Lord worked them a little more, remember, and then he could see them rightly. And that's what we're here for, to get that little more work so we see them and the wonder and mystery of each brother and sister in Christ. This word from the epistle for this particular week tells us this wonder of our love together. One particular verse from that is Barth's favorite one that he says is the central proclamation of the Bible. And that's why I get a little unhappy when someone's mentioned this last week who doesn't like Barth. It's impossible not to like him. Sure, he's the worst critic we Lutherans have had, the sharpest one. We need to listen to them and learn to love them because they're saying something perhaps we've been missing. But he has this as his favorite verse, and this is his charge, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded. He says that's what it's all about. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. And then you got it wrapped up, haven't you? But before he says this, the apostle writes, little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his charge, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. All who keep his commandments abide in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. And this Spirit which he has given us then reminds us that we're not under bondage, not in slavery, no longer in timidity,
but in the wonder of being sons and daughters of God, we're a fellowship of brothers and sisters hundredfold. And we're that to love and cherish and refresh one another continually. I wasn't just talking when I said today that without this quick trick back here, I wouldn't be able to preach Sunday. The kind of a baptism service that little Angela Marie deserves. I would have been carrying my own guilt because I was mad these last 3 days. I was angry at my church. I was angry I hadn't gone to the University of Chicago and had a chance. I was angry I hadn't gone up to Canada when I hadn't got a chance. And then I was angry at myself for being angry. These are my brothers. And they are. And yet you do wonder sometimes. I used to say the greatest problem in the old ELC, and we used to talk about it sometime, our greatest problem with God was why when he makes one Al Rognes does he get tired so quick? Well, you've had a chance to be with him a little, and you see why this is a real problem for us. But yet, you know, I remember teasing Al one time. We're coming back from Minneapolis. That's 24 years ago, 25 years ago next spring, and 25 years ago last spring, and I was saying to Al, boy, I wished I could live with you instead of with me. But then I said, maybe if I did, my people wouldn't get so much gospel. And then Al said, listen, you don't have to live with me. I do. And sure enough, 20 years later, he gets ulcers too. So you never know. See? You never know what's going on inside, do you? And we're all in the same company of the flesh, which needs forgiveness and covering by one another and loving and laughter from one another. That's what we're in. And we can't do it when we feel guilty. You can't do it when you're running away from God and on the defensive. And that's what you're baptized into, is this wonder of being continually accepted anew. What did you offer in your baptism? Most of you, as babes, offered an infant's howl. And like Luther says, I like it when they howl loudly so everyone knows they need it, this baptism, you see. We were simply there in our need, and God took us, because that's the kind of God we got. He isn't holding it against us. We can't believe and even read parts of the New Testament. We really can't. Like when Paul says, God's overlooked all your transgressions which you had until this proclamation of Jesus Christ come to you. Now you got a chance to say thanks or no thank you. Stop the planet, let me off. He who has given the seasons for your gladness of heart is now speaking to you in his Son. This is the way Paul came. Everything wiped out now. Now you have a chance. All right, now if you still go on feeling sorry for yourself, you are under wrath when you see a God who is crucified for you, whoever lives to pray for you, able to save to the uttermost all who come to God by him, who never holds anything against you, who tells you when you, like Peter asked, how long am I supposed to put up with this irritable brother? 7 times? And what did Jesus say? 70 times 7. If we are to put up with each other in the same kind of sins, how much more our Heavenly Father? How much more? Right? That's what Paul says. How much more? Sure, you get exhausted with yourself and disgusted with yourself, but God hasn't, and that's what this scripture says. So you feel exhausted, you're disgusted with yourself. God isn't. He's greater than your heart, and he knows all things. It's a tough one here in the moment of that particular funeral I'm talking about. We had joy to where she was laughing again. She was talking to us. Another 6 weeks. I am still sure that like every other one we've had with this particular syndrome, she would have been out. We had a fellow far worse than she was. We had him up here 2 summers. Just talking to Paul last Friday. He's making $1,200 a week. He's still unmarried. Now he talks, girls. Before he didn't talk at all. He almost talks too much. But anyway, we'll have him, I think, here next summer for building that low head a hydro plant of ours, and we invite you all back if you're interested. But what a guy. It took a little while. I never forget when he first opened up his mouth, said anything. It was, of all things, in a small discussion group with Howard Hong on one of the harder books to read that's been written by men. But it brings out the meaning of sin, and sin is unbelief, and unbelief is essentially unthankfulness, self-pity. If you insist on feeling sorry for yourself, go ahead. But you've just turned God off. Because he's delivered you because he delights in you. And if he's delighting in you, better get with it yourself. Because he is delighting in you. And when you turn off that delight of God in you and insist on going back as a sour puss, We used to have something that was dreadful, and generally it was just amongst us Norwegians and Swedes where it was very popular, because we like to make ourselves miserable and get prizes for who makes himself most miserable. But there we had sort of this feeling like, you haven't suffered enough. You better repent for some more. You aren't ready for communion yet. The last sermon in the same conference, as they call now, but circuits then, that Al and I were in, we had huge circuits then. They just cut them down to 15 in this area, incidentally. My first speech was to say, let North Puget Sound please stay at North Puget Sound since that's what they want. No, they got to be like the rest of us. We finally voted that through because it's a great one up here, and they'll still have about 34 pastors, and they all come out when they're together. We had a conference like that, and I went about 48 down there. And the last sermon this pastor preached was a blast against me down in Clear Lake that I dare to have communion every Sunday, when everybody knows it takes 3 months to get ready, you see. After all, how much have you suffered yet? You haven't hurt enough. You better wait. Like my little nephew when he's about 4 years old. He's a PhD teaching at Fordham now, but then he was in theology, by the way, but he's a kind of a good Norwegian theologian at four. He hadn't asked for forgiveness in his prayers that night. I said, and how come, Steve? Aren't you going to ask for forgiveness? Oh, I just wait till I get a bigger load, and then I bring them all at once. Well, at four, he was already thinking like a Norwegian. You're in this continuous forgiveness, and you can't make yourself miserable because you're forgiven. You're accepted. He delivered me because he delighted me. So if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. Think of that kind of a situation in that funeral and what it was for those parents and for me, a double cousin. And I'd missed her. Just simply hadn't got through to her. She had a tough heritage to live with. Same one I've got with, and I know what it's like. On one side, we got in our family, Dr. Jacob Tanner told me, the most highly sexed family in America. It must have been 14 brothers and sisters, and the girls sure look like, I can tell you that. Unfair to the male race, no question about it. Dave's grandmother, when she wore a sweater, I told her, wow, you know, ain't fair to men. And that's the way they were on that side. And on the other side, they didn't know sex was in the pictures. It's music and art and scholarship. And if you aren't critical, something's wrong with you. This is the way they were, morning, noon, and night. And then they get married to each other because they're so opposite spectrum. And you got to live with this side of tension. She just couldn't take it. She just blew her brain on it. And she started her car with the garage door locked. Your heart condemns you, God's greater than your heart. He knows everything. He knows you all the way through. And open up and just say, take over. Pour out your heart like water before me. I myself will plead your cause for you, says the Lord. And that's why we can't hear it enough, because we don't believe it. I have a hard time when I don't delight in myself to think that God's delighting in me, but he is. He remembers my frame. He knows that I'm but dust. I think I should be something more. My goodness, all those generations of wonderful Norwegians behind me, I should be just as sinful as a Swede, you know. And there I am, see. But I am. And we are. We got the same flesh, you see. All of us do. And so nothing human can be foreign to us. We can understand because we're the same people. And that's the wonder about living together here in the company that we have, is that we relieve each other continually, day by day, because the one thing you don't find up here is judgment. It's a place of uncritical affection, and a lot of it. It's a place where I'll say, and I hope we'll have some real heated debates, and we'll never have the fatuity of people saying, oh, we really are saying the same thing, but we're using different words. No, we don't. We're not thinking the same way. We're different people, praise God. Got two different sexes even on this earth, praise God. And it's, we're bound to have some differences. But we can still give each other back rub in the sun. See? We can still rejoice in these gifts God gives you from your hands and your heads to feed us and refresh us so that we are living by the Spirit which he has given us. In this continually anew wonder that he loves me. He gives me now this Stillwater gang to rejoice my heart.